If you would turn to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. This book of Revelation has been unbelievable, hasn't it? It is so good. So many people have misunderstood and mispreached, I believe, the book of Revelation. I'm excited about what God has been doing here. We have 19 through 22 left in the book of Revelation. And I want to make sure that we can gravitate and understand verses 1 through 10 in the book of Revelation here. This is coming and going to happen at the end of the tribulation period, what we're going to talk about today. And it is crucial that you understand verses 1 through 10 of chapter 19, or you're going to have a real bad misunderstanding of the book of Matthew. Now, barring that the rapture don't come before we finish Revelation, amen, we're going to go from the book of Revelation talking about Christ the way he will be as the judge and king, the conquering king that is coming, is going to rule the world from now on here in the book of Revelation. And we're going to go back to deal with Jesus Christ as he is today for the church in the book of Matthew. And there are some passages in the book of Matthew that have been very misquoted concerning divorce. And I believe that unless you can understand verse 1 through 10 of chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, you will not be able to understand the book of Matthew in dealing with Jesus Christ and how he sees the whole issue of marriage and wife and his when we get into the book of Matthew. So we're going to pray. Get me out of the way here and see if we can understand 1 through 10. Because the office is going to be closed here during the holidays, we have already printed up two or three bulletins. And I've already messed up the flow of the bulletins. We got to looking at this morning these verses, and they are so good that we're not going to rush through them. So what I'm going to basically do today is I'm going to read the 10 verses. That's basically what we're going to get done today. And then next week we'll come back and we will explain some more of the 10 verses. But we're going to read through just to set up Jesus Christ's view of this. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Father, you know my prayer is that you will move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us, Father, who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. And for those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. For Father, this is your word, your entire word. There's nothing left out. And Father, I thank you for the privilege of saying, thus saith the Lord. In your Son's most holy, precious, glorious name, we all say. In January 2nd, as we're talking about the book of Revelation, and from chapter 4 to chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, it is God, Jesus Christ, going back to the Old Testament to fulfill the promise to Abraham. I hope you understand that. Chapter 4 through 22 is God's answer to going back, because there's been a break of God's promise to Abraham and to the prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel. The church age that we're in right now is the age between the 69th week and the 70th week of Daniel. The book of Revelation, talking about tribulation period, 7 years, is the 70th week. So when we get into chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, it is Jesus Christ and God going back to deal with the nation of Israel, to fulfill his promise to Abraham. Now, during this perilous time and all the things that are happening, I've invited some friends over from Israel that's coming to be with us. And Wednesday night, the 2nd of January, we're going to get together over at the school. We'll be making some more announcements, and he'll be talking about Israel and prophecy, and you have an opportunity to ask him questions. And then January 6th, we'll have him here at the church to talk to you and I about some of the things. Phenomenal Messianic Jew, fellow brother, close friend, and is our guide when we go to Israel to talk to the church about what's going on. So it's going to be a continuation of a modern day what's going on in Israel as we look at the book of Revelation. Amen?
Amen.
So remember that. The 2nd of January, Wednesday, and the 6th. Here, as we are coming to the end, chapter 19 is coming to the end of the tribulation period, as we know it in future. To God, it's future history. To us, it's just future, because God is the ever-present now. When we look at what is going to take place during that tribulation period, the Christians, those that have been pulled out, well, we stand here at Antioch is pre-trib. That means that the Christians will be pulled out at the beginning of the tribulation period. During that time is going to be a judgment time for believers, not for salvation, but what you've done since you become a Christian. We're going to prove that as we go through these verses. At the end of that time, God is going to have a tremendous feast. We call it the Super Supper. You look on your bulletin. The Super Supper. Now, if you're from the South, you understand supper. Come to supper. And God understands that because he says in Revelation 3, verse 20, as I knock at the door, if you open that door, I will come in and sup with you. See, God already knows. What's up? All right? Now, understanding that, we are in a tremendous time that just before Christ comes back. We're going to explain this even more next week so you can see a full picture of what I'm talking about. That's going to be a feast. Lamb feast. And I want to read now to bring you up to one of the greatest events in the history of man. It's when God's going to come back with the church to destroy the way the world ever would do business again. So this is an important lesson. Amen? Check this out. Chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things, after what things? We're going to break that down next week. I heard a great voice. What kind of voice? No. That's East Side response. What kind of voice?
Great.
A great voice. See, after these things, I heard a great voice. Many people in heaven saying, Hallelujah. Let me see if I can break that down. Hallelujah. Broke it down, praise God, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Great voice, many people, hallelujah, praise the Lord. See, now, what many of us got to understand is when you say praise the Lord, God stops. What does praise the Lord mean? It means, God, I want your attention. I'm getting ready to praise you about something. Most of us say praise the Lord, and we think we just did it. So most people believe the Bible because they don't know what it says. Amen? So when you say, praise the Lord, it'd be just like me walking up to my wife and says, honey, I am getting ready to say something to you. She listens, and then I turn around and walk off. You can get a whole bunch of trouble in your home doing that. Hey, amen. It'd be just like a guy, like this young lady, and walks up to her and says, listen, I just got to tell you this. I mean, I've been holding it back, and I need to tell you. And you're sitting there, and you're like this, and he goes, turns around and walks off. Can't hear you. Do you understand what you do when you say, well, praise God? Heaven says. And then you just walk off. Ain't going to be like that in heaven. When they say, hallelujah. Hold on to your head. I'm just reading. I'm not preaching yet. Hallelujah, salvation, glory to God, honor and power unto the Lord our God. Folks, talk to me. Is there anything else left that we need to say to the Lord once you get through all these? Praise God. Thank you for your salvation. Honor, glory to you. Power. That, I mean, can you, I want you to just think about heaven. The way it's going to be. Oh, listen to this. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great harlot who did corrupt the earth with her fornication and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. You think it's a theme here? Yeah. You hear what I'm hearing? Are you beginning to just get a small glimpse of what's going on? Then we're talking about the end of all judgment is coming almost. And the church and everyone, look at what's this. Oh, verse 3, and again they said, hallelujah. Man, I like this. And her smoke rose up forever and ever, that's the harlot, and the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. What? Hello, God Almighty. What kind of voice? Great voice. How many people? Many people. What's he going to be saying? Salvation. Oh, glory, honor, power, God. Oh, I praise God. You know how many? You know there's going to be a lot of white people in heaven going to have some problems. It's going to be a lot of sophisticated black people. Been educated on the east side way. Going to have a problem in heaven. Presbyterians. Oh, they are going to freak out in heaven. I don't know if Methodists, they just going to die again. Right there in heaven. Listen. I'm 17. Verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. What kind of multitude? Great multitude. And like the voice of many waters. How does the voice of many waters say? You ever been to Niagara Falls? Oh, you ought to hear the water. Just multiply it by 100,000 waterfalls plus to the 100,000 power. Oh, that's where heaven's going to be. Look at this. Ooh, look at this. And like the voice of mighty pearls of thunder, boom! You ever had little kids doing a storm at the house? Maybe some of you. Lightning don't bother me. It's that thunder. Me and my dogs go off. Ha, 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 ha. Boom! I want to ask you guys a question. How loud do you think heaven's going to be? With all the angels, with all the church, with everybody praising God, it's sounding like thunder and water coming and multitudes screaming. I wonder how many people going, I just can't worship in this. I mean, with all these loud people and people saying amen and the music is loud, just take my mind off of Jesus. Who's going to tell God to turn the volume down? You know, Lord, if you didn't have them PV speakers up there, we could really worship you up here in heaven. Can't hear you. You see, God said, I didn't ask you what your idea of worship is. And you're not going to write what worship is in heaven. You're not going to set the volume in heaven. You know, you may think it's too loud here. You may think it's too low. You may think it's too fast here. It may be too slow. God says, when you get to heaven, he sets the standard for what worship is. And it's not going to be nothing like you have heard down here, and you have tried to set what worship is. You know, so many people get so caught up when they walk into church service, they forget that it's about God. Right. It's a gym. We can't worship in a gym. Got kangaroos on the wall. I hope God don't have kangaroos on the wall. Ain't got anything in the South, we'd be no problem because it's the King of Kings. I want to give you guys a secret. When we get to heaven, it won't be a building either. Amen. Oh, can you see anybody go, oh, I just can't worship here, God. Send me back to earth. God said, okay. That's why I left you down there for a while. I can't hear you. God says he sets the standard for worship. Loud for loud's sake, God said, I'm not interested in that either. What I am interested in is people that is so in love with God that when they see me, they can't keep it to themselves. They got to say, hallelujah. Praise God. I don't care what my neighbors think of me. I'm talking about Jesus. And that's what he says. Now, I'm just reading. I'm just reading. We're not preaching yet. I mean, thunder, like thunder. Saying hallelujah for the Lord God, omnipotent reigns, omnipotent. Omnipotent. He is all potent, all powerful. He reigns. He sets the standard. He talks about what it's like. I'm bringing everybody together, and it's going to be a super supper. Oh, you talk about Ruth Chris. You think Ruth Chris? Ah, nothing. You talk about the Met. Oh, let's run down to the Metropolitan. Well, we got a good steak down there. Some lobster, some salmon. Don't you know that thing is, the salmon is scarce? Oh, you're talking about going to Canlis where you start writing your check before you ever get there. Nothing compared to what God's going to cook. Can I get a witness? I'm talking about a super supper setting up. Ooh, Lord have mercy. When I hear about how heaven's going to be, when all of us going to be, come on, let's sit down and sup together. You know how it used to be as a kid? Things get real loud and kids start crying. Remember that? Folks, they think mom and dad's arguing. You're just having a good time, laughing, talking. Oh, it's too loud. Thunder, boom. You know, as kids, we used to say, ooh, thunder. God and his wife is fighting in heaven. Yeah. You see some of those wives tell, all right, the wife is moving furniture again. She don't like how heaven looks. She's rearranging the furniture. Y'all never heard any of those wise tales when you was growing up about thunder? God's wife. Pastor, that is so sacrilegious. Now God's got a wife. I'm glad you mentioned that. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has been made ready. God, can you understand what this? You see, I know you don't understand what this is about, because if it was, you'd be up throwing chairs at the pastor already. His wife is ready. She's been made ready. Oh, I love this, man. God's wife. You know what I'm you know, this is David. For Christmas Eve, but you might, it's Sunday. It's Revelation. We might as well talk about it. Some of us are going to be mad at the way they're going to worship in heaven. But you know what is one thing I know about the wife? I want to ask you a question. I wonder if God's wife in heaven is going to say, well, I don't like this role. Submission. I was raised in the United States of America. I don't have to go with that submission stuff up here in heaven. I wonder if someone's going to say, well, God, you know, why don't you take my last name? Why do I have to take your last name? Why don't you take my last name? Or at best, let me hyphenate mine. The Holy Spirit is making me preach this. I don't want to preach this. I think Ken Hutchison - Jesus Christ is a good name. Well, you say, well, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you something, ladies. You got a hard time dealing with your role down here on earth. You better get off of it. Because I'm going to tell you something. God considers me his wife. I'm talking about stud king. I'm looked at like a woman. I'm the wife of Christ. My role changes in heaven. And if I got to submit and I got to be the one that's the weaker of the two in the whole relationship, I guarantee you, you better not have a problem with it on this earth. Well, God, I just think that's kind of chauvinistic myself. I wonder if they're going to say that in heaven. See, the reason why we're having all these problems down here on earth about what a wife's role is because we don't understand what God thinks is an important aspect of husband and wife. We have forgotten that we're not talking about man's rule when it comes to husband and wife. We're talking about the only picture on earth that represents God and his church. I don't think that God's going to have a problem with someone rebelling up there and want to pass some laws to say, I don't have to do this. Can't hear you. And that's why we got so many problems right now, because we're forgetting the aspect of what God has established. And he says, even though you may not like it, when you get to heaven, I'm going to set it right. Because everybody up there is a wife. Ain't no male or female gender up there. It's the head of the church and his wife. I'm just reading. Not preaching yet. That's next week. I'm just reading right now. Pretty good reader. Amen. Pretty good. You glad you came to church today? I mean, we really, folks, we have forgotten how God sees it. And it doesn't matter how you and I see it. And God says, I want you to be a reflection of me to the world. As a family. As a man. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. He didn't ask your opinion, man, about what you think loving your wife is all about. Wait. I didn't hear you, and there was no response in there. He said, die for her. Die. Ladies, you wanna change roles? I'll go with the submission stuff. You die. Well, Pastor, you just don't know. Married to this man is just like dying. It's your choice. Nobody made you marry him. Just so afraid you was going to be alone. You put up with any mess to keep from being alone. And then you want to get out of it to be alone again, just so you can make the same mistake again. God says, I set the standard. Marriage is high. It is so high. I'm going to explain it to you. But right now I'm reading, so I can't explain. Look at this. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousnesses of the saints. Did you hear what the pastor said? The righteousnesses. That's a tough word from a brother from Alabama. Amen. Because I'm good at putting syllables where they're not supposed to be, being from the South. I can make one syllable word have two or three syllables by the time it gets through. But this says the righteousnesses. Most Bibles are translated differently. They don't say righteousnesses. It says righteous acts. Is it? I'm reading. We're going to break that down for you. What it means is not salvation. It means what you do after you become a Christian. God says you're going to be dressed. Huh? Talk to me, wife. That's all of us. So you're going to be dressed in how you live after you become a Christian. Oh, we're going to break that one down, because there are going to be some people in heaven maybe scantily dressed. Now, what verse we on? 8? How much time we got? 5 minutes? Oh, y'all want to get on off of 8, huh? Did I just finish 8? Okay, thank you. We're getting ready to go tonight. And he said unto me, write, bless. When God don't have nothing else to say, when he can't think of nothing else better, he said, bless it. Now, you know that's awesome. When God don't have nothing else to say, he invented language. When he runs out of ways to say, I got something good for you, he said, bless it. I'm just reading. We'll break that down next week. He said unto me, right, blessed are they who are called unto the marriage supper, the super supper of the Lamb of God, the coming Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, the mighty Lamb of God. The Lamb was slain. The Lamb rose again 28 times. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the Lamb. But when we get to chapter 19, the Lamb, that's the whole center of the whole Bible, talks about his wife. I want to ask you a question. How important are you? Well, let me see. I see you looking at me funny. So we might as well try to break it down a little bit. Is that all right? Let me break it down a little bit. Well, since I'm just reading, I just break it down. Michael Jordan. Here, take this. In your face. You can't stop me. How do you think his wife feels? Knowing she's his wife. Huh? You think there's a little bit, you think there's something that goes along with it? I'm Michael Jackson's wife. Ooh, not him. No. But then again, somebody's proud to be that, I guess. Ah. Well, you know, that's what Gore said. You think when she walks in and throw out her license in a store, Mrs. Michael Jackson, Jordan? you think she tried to hide that? I'm gonna ask, honest. You think she tried to hide that? You know, but something different about a man marrying a very famous woman. You ever notice that? A man marries into a rich woman, marries into a lot of money. He won't say that he married into a lot of money. He wants you to think he made it. Can't hear you. How about, any of y'all in here know who Margaret Thatcher's husband's name is? Yeah, Mr. Margaret Thatcher. Mr. Margaret Thatcher. Can't hear you. Amen. It's something when a man marries into money, a marriage into a famous person. You know, Cindy Crawford. Anyone know what Cindy Crawford's husband's name? You know, I mean, yep. Guys are going, I wish I knew. But when you marry, when a woman marries into royalty, she's called a princess. Is a man, when he marries into royalty, is he called a prince? Even if he is, no one knows it. Why? Because this is the standard God has set. See? And the world has grabbed onto it, and we as believers don't even see it. Man, I mean, if I can marry somebody rich, if you was a woman, marry someone rich, would you let others know it? You bet, man. You lay it out there. Oh, you don't think that I'm the wife of God. You don't think I walk around saying, you know who my husband is. I am the wife. I am the bride of Christ. I'm going to tell you something. I'm just reading. We'll get into preaching next week, Jeff. Look at verse 10. We got to get out here. Look at verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. This is John. And he said unto me, whoa, whoa. Don't do that. This is the angel. It's not Christ. John fell at the feet of the angel. The angel, oh, boy. This is Hutchinson International Version. What be you doing? Get up. I'm just a servant just like you is, and I'm just one of your brothers. You got to understand something now. In the Bible, angels, it's masculine. There's no female angels. He says, I'm your brother. Get up. I have the only thing I have that makes me just as good as you is I have the testimony of Jesus. So get up. Don't you worship me. Worship God. Worship God. Now check this out. Oh, this is smoking right here. We're going to start with verse 10 next week and work our way back. It says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Did you hear me? For the testimony of Jesus is in the spirit of prophecy. The book of Revelation. He is the revelation. Prophecy is to allow you and me to know about Jesus. It's not to talk about and how to learn about the second coming. Prophecy wasn't given to you so you can out-talk someone about knowing more than they do about the future. Prophecy is not given for the fact of saying, I am pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I am post-millennial, pre-millennial. It has nothing to do with it. It is about Jesus Christ. He says, if you get in prophecy for any other reason, except walking away with the glory of Jesus Christ and knowing how important his wife is, you're studying for the wrong reason. If you're walking in your Christianity for any other reason than to glorify Jesus Christ, you are wasting your life. You are most people most miserable. It is about Jesus. Starts with Jesus. In the middle with Jesus. Ends with Jesus. Between the middle and the end and the beginning is Jesus. In the front door is Jesus. Back door, Jesus. Kitchen, Jesus. Living room, Jesus. Bedroom, Jesus. Closet, Jesus. Backyard, Jesus. Front yard, Jesus. The car I drive, Jesus. The garage I got, Jesus. It doesn't matter. It's about Jesus. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're living your Christian life for any other reason than to bring glory to Jesus, you are a miserable person. Because you're going to miss out on what he has for you. It's about you and I. The greatest of all times. To bring back to his greatest glory. And his greatest gift. You and I. That's what the supper is going to be about. So I pray. In a small way. As I have read this today. You got a small glimpse of why Jesus is so important, why his wife is so important, why the church is so important, why husband and wives are so important, why families are so important. And when you get that focused, then and only then can we have a right concept of what we're supposed to be doing and why we're supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to be being and why we're supposed to be being that. Because it's about Jesus and him one day bringing glory to his wife. What an awesome picture. I pray you get it in a small way, so that maybe next week you can get it the whole way. Nothing better. Amen? Remember, we need help taking down, and we need help setting up tomorrow, 4 o'clock. And have a wonderful day.